Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I am your host, James Gilmore, and this week we're doing something a little different. We are broadcasting to you from the past. I was going to say it's an undiscovered country, but it's the opposite, isn't it? It's the discovered one.
You discovered it like 4 days ago.
We did. And yeah, and what's it like, guys?
It's all right. Yeah, we don't have flying cars.
Again.
But then people know that because they were here.
We still have Pringles, though.
Then we don't now.
Not for long.
Oh,
no, those Pringles are long gone.
Time-based paradox.
But you might have a yo-yo now.
So. Oh. Which is a result. Well, as you might be able to hear, things are a little different this week. We're not in the usual podcasting booth. We're never really in that either, to be honest with you. We're all broadcasting in rooms from Skype. But today, we have gathered for one of them conferences that we do. It's the Pocket Gamer Steel Media Conference thing. We all get together. We talk about strategies for about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about stuff usually nothing to do with strategies or...
Yeah, we talk about the best ways to get whiter teeth. We talk about the ways...
Get rid of grey.
Yeah, get rid of grey hairs. Yeah. Slimmer, flatter stomachs. It was really late last night.
Yeah, we're also recording this very early in the morning for a change, because we've got to go out and do actual conference things. So if you all sound a bit bassy or a little bit tired or something, but surprisingly, all of us here, the four of us, not hungover, because we all went to bed at sensible times, didn't we?
Sort of. We did. We did.
Which is unusual. So who actually are we joined by this week? I've said my name. What's your name?
Hi.
You.
Hi, I'm the internet's Peter Willington.
Check you out. Yeah. I've always wanted to see you in the flesh.
It's my catchphrase for the last couple of days.
Yes, this is Peter Willington, and he's wearing a Star Wars t-shirt.
It's pretty good, right?
Because he's flying in the face of geek convention, and he's rewriting all the stereotypes.
Yeah. Star Wars and also Star Wars Tech the Arcade, I think it is.
Yeah, Star Wars and retro, so yeah. Well done there.
Thanks.
Nicely done. What about you, sir, this gentleman?
I am real life's Harry Slater.
Check you out.
Yeah.
Anyone who listened to the Christmas podcast that we did will be familiar with Harry.
Yeah, I'm like a biannual thing. I just pop out of the ground.
You are. He is. You're like tax returns.
Yeah. But worse, probably.
Takes longer to fill out. And finally, who else do we have?
I am GMA nominated arsehole, Mark Brown.
Oh, the one and only. I hope that is the tagline on your Twitter account.
I run a website, apparently.
Do you?
No, websites. No. About video games, pocket games.
One of those. Oh, I know the one. Yeah, I've heard of that before. It's on your t-shirt, in fact.
Whoa.
Mark is dangerously on message this week with the Pocket Gamer t-shirt.
I think that's pretty good commitment to the bit, if I'm honest.
Well, you know, the t-shirt. I do my bit.
But does he ever wear it, like, when he's not surrounded by people who work at Pocket Gamer?
Okay.
We already know about Pocket Gamer.
Do you slumber with it?
No, I don't.
Do you?
It's got a QR code on the back, and sometimes people come up to me in the street and try and scan my back.
Does it make you feel a bit special?
It does, but I wish it didn't go to Pocket Gamer and went to, like, some horrible porn site just to ruin people's days.
Right.
So that'd be funny.
But that might make their day better.
Yeah, good thing.
Like to.
Depends what it was. Yeah, but no, it's just Pocket Gamer.
That's all right. To counteract this on message t-shirt, I've got my I think Pocket Gamer is a bit bum t-shirt on.
Right.
Which,
to be honest,
less punchy.
The higher ups have said not one to wear.
That's why I only wear it during podcasts.
Yeah.
During audio broadcasts.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Rebelling.
Well, as it's early on in the week, there's not quite as much news as usual, but we are going to fill the not at all dead air with some exciting stuff from people you don't usually hear from, the games they've been playing and all that. But there is still the usual rundown to take care of. So first of all, the update. Just one update for you this week. Square Enix, those of the we like to make games that cost more than your car, have cut the price of The World's End. Is it, what's it called? The World's End?
The World Ends With You.
Yeah.
Colon Solo Remix.
Yeah, yes. to give it its full royal title. See, I watched The World's End over the weekend, the Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright movie. So that's why I'm getting confused.
Are they the Square Enix doing a game about that? Or?
Probably. It's going to cost £24,000 and you have to remortgage your home.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Oh, that would be so good. Yeah. It is usually, I don't know, it's probably usually around £10 or $15, something like that. Mm-hmm. That's generally the way it is. It's going cheap. You can get it for £6.99 or $9.99. We gave it a gold, I think. I'm looking at you, Harry, because I think you might be the one who gave it a gold.
All of the games.
Sounds like that would be a thing that maybe happened, yes.
Yeah, because you like that colour. No?
People say you're overly generous.
I do. I have a warm and open personality that allows me perhaps to share more love than I should. But that's my blessing and my curse.
Well, it's a burden you have to bear. But you bear it well, so well done. So yeah, if you wanted to try one of these games, and it's usually the way with Square Enix games where it's not that they're bad necessarily, or some of them are, but some of the RPGs, the bigger ones, you might want to have a go on it, but you are put off by the fact that it costs just far too much. So if you did fancy having a look at it, but didn't want to pay all of your money, then £6.99 is a little bit more reasonable, I guess. And it was a DS game once upon a time, wasn't it? That's where it came from, and it was one of those cult things. Everyone got very excited about it.
How's the deal with like the dual screen stuff?
The solo remix is a clue.
So they just put it all onto one screen?
Yeah. They changed bits of it around so that, because you get the things and the fighting on the two screens and stuff, didn't you? I didn't play the DS version. but yeah, they sort of changed it a bit.
Put in Twitter functionality.
Yeah.
Really? What can you tweet?
So in the game, you read people's minds as you're walking about Shibuya, and they put your friends' tweets in people's minds.
Really?
Doesn't really make much sense in the fiction of the game.
But I would pay £7 for that, just to see that.
It's the most annoying Twitter feed possible. Yeah. It's just having to read from people's brains.
I don't like the ones that push tweets. I know that whilst I really like Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, there was that option at the end of every level to tweet something, some cute little quirky message. And I accidentally did it once, and I hated myself for the rest of the day. Mm. Because everyone knows what you're doing, and I think it's lame. Which is, I suppose, what Twitter's about and why I'm bad at it.
Mm-hmm. Other companies would really like you to do their marketing for you.
Yeah.
Would
I want? Do I want to rate it? Do I want to allow push notifications? So yeah, world's end with you if you fancy it. Some news! So, Infinity Blade fans took a little bit of a kick in the proverbial jewels earlier in the year when they cancelled Infinity Blade. Was it Dungeons? Was that what it was called? Yes. There was supposed to be a whole new Infinity Blade game that did away with the slashy-slashy over-the-shoulder combat and presented kind of more of a dungeon-crawling RPG type thing, which I was slightly interested in. I know you, Peter, were not interested at all.
Nope.
And took right against it. Mm-hmm. But the game got cancelled and the studio went down with it. So it seemed that all was lost for Infinity Blade. But according to LinkedIn this week, all is not lost. It's been well and truly found. Infinity Blade 3 for the iPhone has sort of been confirmed, insofar as someone has gone and put on their LinkedIn profile that they're working on Infinity Blade 3, which seems to happen way more than you think it should. Like, all these unconfirmed games where everyone's being very tight-lipped about it, and then someone just puts it on their, bio, and the company goes, oh. To the point where I wonder whether they are just doing it on purpose, and it's to gain column inches or something.
Oh, podcast words.
Podcast words, yes. Those valuable podcast words. Because it seems a bit of an obvious slip-up to make.
Obviously, we use the correct titles of games, but sometimes games developers will refer to Infinity Blade 3, and it might actually have been Infinity Blade Dungeons, for example.
Mm.
But at the same time, not everyone gets media trained at a company that's got a few hundred people in it, or whatever. And I suppose some people just do slip up, or they don't see the faux importance of trying to keep information secret in the games industry. Like, everyone sort of knows there's probably Infinity Blade being worked on, because it did very well. And, if they were to just come out and say, yeah, we're doing something, I don't really know why that would be an issue, but, yeah, so
It was probably a given, to be honest. Well, now that it's been sort of quasi-confirmed, I'm sure Chair will say something not too distant future. Where can they go with Infinity Blade 3? Because 2 was basically 1 plus a bunch of... It's just like more options, more weapon customization. But essentially, it's, you know, the same sort of thing. It was still a premium game, like the first one. Where are they going to go with Infinity Blade 3?
Space.
Ah? Uh-huh.
Robots. Space. Lasers.
Oh, sure, that's infinite laser. They have to change up the things there. Blades are useless.
It's like a laser blade.
I think George Lucas will have something to say about that. Maybe. One thing that does seem like an obvious route is to take the whole thing freemium.
No? Yeah, I mean, they did that with Infinity Blade 2.
Yeah, there are lots
of in-app purchases in that. And they did make it go free for a while with no real reason to try that out other than maybe this works. Maybe something similar to what we're doing at the moment in terms of free would work. And they did report back, didn't they? They said something like they had 4 times the amount of IAPs since it went free.
Oh, really?
And then it went back to premium stuff, and obviously that all dropped off. So clearly they're doing experiments in this area.
I don't want to put ideas in their head, obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the route it took. But like bar payment models and everything, is it just going to be more gods, more slashing?
It'll be Punch-Out again.
you were really excited about it before, and I know it's that thing again where you swipe the screen, nothing happens.
I think it will look amazing, and the reason that people should get excited for a new Infinity Blade is, hello, this is what games can look like on these devices. Very limited, like field of view games, but this is how far and hard you can push the tech, and that's cool. But the actual basic gameplay itself is probably going to remain pretty faithful.
Well, the problem is that since Infinity Blade 2 came out, there's been like a billion Infinity Blade clones. That's like Superman and Pacific Rim. So all that stuff. So if they just did another Infinity Blade, it would be a bit like, another one of these. Even though there's only 2 official ones, you know.
Mm.
So they've got to do something. I'm still in space.
I suppose the other ones have been so lousy. I mean, both Pacific Rim was pretty dreadful. And the Superman one was just dull, massively dull. And I know that I'm sure there have been several others that follow the same formula. I guess Chair do it best. It is kind of a good way to use the touchscreen. If you're going to do hacky-slashy nonsense, it's a good way to do it.
But, you know, like, I sort of agree with you on this one. Like, Temple Run 2, for example, that... I think if there hadn't been so many infinite runners, it would have had a lot more clout and a lot more excitement.
Mm.
But if they do just go back to this dodge left, dodge right stuff, I think...
Might we see some of what... Because, I mean, Dungeons was... There was quite a lot done on it, I think, from, like, it was playable at places and stuff. So you might get bits from Infinity Blade Dungeons, like, a more... So you've got your dungeon crawly bit, but then your fights are like, and that'd be terrible. I hope they don't do that.
Smash them together.
So,
sort of like a dungeon crawler for most of it, and then you get to a boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or even just like bits where you are exploring and. Oh, they could put stealth sections in. Everyone loves stealth sections, don't they?
Ruining things.
And then an underwater level. And I don't know.
What's the best underwater level?
All of Echo the Dolphin.
Right. Okay. Well,
except for the bits where you jump out.
Oh, they were the best bits.
Yeah, and you jump from bit to bit.
Yeah.
Over the little rock.
I've never played past the very first bit of Echo the Dolphin. I don't know how to get out of the cove.
Really?
I just talked to the dolphins, and they're just like, you know.
I got to the second bit.
Yeah. I don't know how to get out. You know, you go out, jump out of the water and you go back in again.
If it was just entirely a dolphin chatting game, I reckon I'd be well up for that. Like Seaman, but with dolphins.
I'm sure Seaman can talk to dolphins.
But you only want dolphin-on-dolphin action. You don't want any sort of...
No, there was an orca, I was happy with that.
You're right with that. Sort of like sea mammals. Like, what about crabs? Would that be alright?
That is true, actually. Like Echo would talk to his other mammalian pals, but he'd eat fish.
And he totally snubs the jellyfish.
I noticed.
Doesn't even ask them like how they're doing. Or...
They may, you know, life under the sea is cruel. No, it's full of cliques.
It's not. It's much better down where it's wet.
Okay, so just to summarise, Infinity Blade 3 should be a third-person slasher dungeon crawler, forced stealth section, underwater freemium game.
With dolphins
in space.
Yeah.
I'd buy it, or download it for free and do some in-app purchases.
Yeah.
I think we all agree that that's the way chairs should go. I hope they're listening. They're not listening. Okay, the other thing I'd like to talk about news-wise is something a little bit... It's kind of a bit somber for this early in the morning, I suppose, but we're going to chat about it anyway. There's a game released by a company called 8-Bit Underpants, which is about as funny as this story gets, called Joyful Executions. It is parodying North Korean propaganda used to influence children. So you take control of a 4-man firing squad... You play as a commissar called Kim Bok-kyung, and up against the clock, you have to manage your ammo supplies and change up your execution methods to deal with different enemy types.
Mm.
So you basically kill people in different ways depending on their crime. So like I say, if they've stolen a Twix, then I don't know.
I don't think they have Twixes in North Korea.
Oh, right. Well, if they've stolen a picture of the their venerable, mighty leader, then, I don't know, you get poked with a ballpoint pen or something.
I don't think they have ballpoint pens in North Korea.
This is getting tricky.
So the name of the company would suggest that it is a slightly distasteful parody.
Well, I don't know, maybe it's a bad, poor translation.
But is it a political thing?
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be a parody. They say you're supposed to keep back waves of traitors by killing them to appease the divine leader, all capitalized. It's argued by Friedrich Nordstrom, who's the sole developer behind it, that he doesn't see why his game has been pulled off of the App Store and been pulled off of Google Play, rather than, say, for example, 5 Minutes to Kill Yourself, which is another game on the App Store that is still there, that he would argue is... sort of as damaging or as violent or whatever as his own. He's complained, he said, but it's Apple's right to decide what they want and don't want for whatever reason they fancy. However, as a developer, I'd appreciate a more consequent and traceable implementation of their guidelines. So he says he finds the whole thing bewildering.
Well, Apple's guidelines are, we can do whatever we want.
Yes.
Effectively.
That's it. That is the one guideline they have. Yeah. And it pretty much gets... They do have other ones, but really that's what it comes down to be honest.
Which is pretty clear.
And we've seen in games in the past, especially where any games that want to try and spark a political debate or something like that, tend to get shot down quite quickly.
So we talked about Endgame Syria a lot, didn't we?
We did.
A couple of months ago now. And that... So obviously that got pulled because that was... definitely trying to sort of come across with a political message. And that was when Apple issued that statement, wasn't it, of if you want to talk about the human condition, write a book or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
So, obviously it's not as shocking this time around. And if the intentions are true and they want to, you know, they want to put out this political statement and, you know, and we take it at face value, then it's not as shocking that something like that would get taken off of the App Store.
No, it is overtly political. Mm. What he's saying is, talking about the government, the DPRK's leadership tactics of bullying their way to concessions by use of aggressive threats must not be tolerated, and so they're trying to remove respect from them and not acknowledge them as equals. It's basically trying to take down the North Korean regime.
And that's, you know, it's an admirable... Yeah, I mean, with video games. Video games to save the world.
You start small and then you build out, you know, it's a grassroots movement.
And, like, it's an admirable... I mean, you know, it's an admirable thing to do, and to try and make a political statement like that through games is fantastic, and it's something that should be done. But I don't think anybody's surprised by this, and it sort of shows once more that you should probably publish it on Android. And I think that there is from developers that I talk to, there is a growing concern that they cannot speak freely on Apple's platform, and the number of installs of Android is getting to the point now where if somehow they can find a way of monetizing it that gets around the whole sideloaded APKs and piracy and all that sort of stuff, then at some point most of those developers are saying we want to move over to Android because we've got the freedom to do whatever we want to do with it. And suddenly, you know, Apple's walled garden doesn't look so appealing anymore.
But freedom don't pay the bills, do they?
At the moment, no. So, like, this Endgame Syria game recently got turned into a game about Shakespeare, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. So, in some ways, it sort of does... It sort of can pay the bills. And they, obviously, they changed it to be a different regime and a fictional regime in the end as well. And they did all this sort of stuff. It's a company that uses publicity and the press very well, actually, Aurok, to kind of get the attention, and then they, you know, they go on and make it a slightly different game out of it. You know, you can change the art assets out and do whatever.
I mean, you can make a political statement as allegory rather than as, you know, you don't have to be so obvious to make the same point. In fact, in a way, it's better to make a point with a fiction than with a, something that's quite so blunt sometimes. Like, I mean, from the description we've just been read of this North Korea game, you hear it and you go, really?
It's pretty on the nose, I suppose, isn't it? It's not Animal Farm, is it?
No, so, but there are almost better ways of getting that point across that wouldn't necessarily fall foul of... I mean, you can, you know, there is a long history of dystopian fiction that makes a point without, you know... holding up a big banner saying North Korea are bad.
Yeah. I've already proved my ignorance of North Korea by not knowing about pigeons and that and biros. It's very difficult to know anything about North Korea. Yeah. That's half the point, isn't it? You don't know what.
Do you know
that's so cagey?
You can go on a tourist trip around North Korea now. You can. There's a. They have a tourist board, and you can.
Is it a blank board? Which can't be seen from Google Maps.
Legitimately, you can pay to go on a trip to North Korea and be shown around Pyongyang and the surrounding areas and taken down very specific streets. But there was a story, I think, in one of the British national newspapers, and one of the guys went out there and said, you go there and it looks like any other city, but very occasionally you sort of see little glimpses of, this is not quite right. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting regime to take a swing at, and one might sort of argue that Apple could kind of let this one slide. Like, who's mates with North Korea?
Don't worry, North Korea, we got your back.
It's pretty black and white at this point. Like, yeah.
You know. Well, according to Friedrich, he's not going to be toning the game down to meet Apple's demands. But he is apparently going to release a Little Girls Training Edition, which is going to be coming out in August via an update, and it replaces the human traitors that you're supposed to be executing with dummies filled with urine.
Right. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh. I'm reading this verbatim, that this is actually happening, apparently.
Suddenly his argument has fallen apart.
Now I'm going to shoot dummies full of piss. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, but I'm not actually joking. Huh. Is that going to topple the Korean regime?
Dummies filled with piss.
Threw them over the DMZ.
What, the rapper?
Well, there we go, we've solved the North Korean issue quite nicely. Well, Joyful Executions is currently available on Google Play and Android tablets. You can get it for free, but don't expect it to turn up on the App Store anytime soon. Right, as we are speaking to you from the distant past this week, we've got a list on the games that will be coming out and should be out right now as you're listening to this. First of which is Mikey Hooks, which I think we may have mentioned before, I can't remember, but it's the sequel to Mikey Shorts, which was a kind of a platformer that was sort of based around speedruns, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the ultimate idea, is that you're playing a little dude who wears shorts and charges ever forward. You're basically trying to complete the levels in as fast a time as possible. It's not an endless runner. I mean, it's reasonably challenging, or gets that way towards the end. Not necessarily to complete the levels, but it's to get
time.
Yeah, it's chasing the time that you're really trying to do. Apparently the team behind it were originally massively inspired by Hookshot games. I don't know which one specifically. So what they've done is they've decided to throw in a hookshot mechanic to the sequel. So we've got Mikey Hooks, and it looks pretty much the same, other than the fact that he can now jump and fire off a hookshot onto a bit of the environment and swing about a bit. You've got more enemies, more spikes, all that sort of stuff. We've played it a little bit. At least, I say we, looking at Harry. Harry, he's played it.
Yes, I have played it in the past and more in the future, which hasn't happened yet.
And, ooh.
Yeah. And it's good. Yeah, it's the same sort of speedrun thing that you can easily complete the levels, but then you don't get all the gold stars and you feel a bit sad.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's smooth. The controls are nice. Yeah, little bite-sized levels. It's kind of what you want from a mobile platforming game. It's good.
Yes. And I can't confirm the price. Was it 69p fair, the original? Something like that, wasn't it? I expect it's going to be around 69p 99 cents when it arrives. So we'll have a review up very soon. In fact, it might be up right now. What else have we got? Worms 3. Now, how many Worms games have there been? Because 3 suggests 3. Isn't and there actually, there's been about 20.
Hasn't there been a Worms 4?
Was that Armageddon? No, that was World Party. Worms 4, World Party.
No.
Worms 3 was Armageddon.
And there was Reloaded or something, wasn't there?
And there was a golf one.
Armageddon.
Yeah. Worms Golf.
Yeah.
Can't Race Blast.
Bubble game.
Mm-hmm.
Pinball. No, I think there was a paintball one, but that was Lemmings.
That was Lemmings.
They haven't been kind to this IP, have they? Well, apparently Worms 3, I don't know if this is a port of a pre-existing one.
No, it's a brand new built from the ground up for iOS.
Oh, okay, all right then. I haven't played it yet. I've been sent images of it, which I sort of looked at. I really liked Worms when it first came out, like on the Amiga, when we played it and it was, you know, two people sitting or more sitting at the thing, swapping the keyboard, play. And it was fantastic fun, that merger of like the tanks-esque gameplay, and that was brilliant. There's just been so many sequels, and in some ways so little has changed that I...
Well, I have played it. I played an early build of it. I don't know if it's the final build that I've played. But it's the same. But, you know, it's got old ladies that explode and sheep that explode and everything explodes. And it's still got that sort of cheeky Worms about it. And it's nice and it looks nice and it's Worms. It's kind of... If you want Worms... And buy Worms, you know.
Do they say, first of the blood?
Probably.
Is there a holy hand grenade?
Yes.
Oh, well, so.
And there's this new card mechanic, which adds this sort of extra level of strategy to it. So you've got these collectible cards that you can get through winning games and stuff. You get points, and then you can get all these different cards. And you can play them to alter things. So, like, you might play one that makes the scenery slippery, so you only have to poke an enemy worm a little bit, and it'll just slide into the water and stuff like that. So it's got these extra level of tactics that you can play, and you like build your deck to start, and you put it in, and it's there's innovation to a point there, but the core is still Worms, and there's different classes of Worms now. So there's like big fat worms who are like heavy and they move slower. Oh, and then there's like scouts and there's Healy Doctor worms that like give hit points back to if they're in the same screen, I think.
And when you said Healy, I thought you were doing like he's a helicopter worm who takes off.
I thought you meant you had
medic worms.
Wheels, no, they don't wear shoes.
They don't have feet.
They have feet.
How do they hold the guns?
They don't hold it with their feet.
You want to hold the gun with your feet.
They've got like floating brain-esque.
Yeah, they've got like hands, but they're our feet because they just slither along and they bounce on their tails.
It's true.
There's not a tail because they're all tails.
I'm finding the legitimacy of this universe pretty.
It's a bit ropey, isn't it? How do they handle the multiplayer? Do they have pass and play on it?
They have and pass and play, and they have online-y events and sort of, yeah.
Okay.
It's asynchronous, so you're like.
Oh, okay.
So it works. It's all. And it's a nice sort of layout for, and then like getting into a game's easy and fun. Yeah, so it's all really well put together.
Well, by this point, however many 15 years later or whatever it is, they should have the formula down.
Yeah.
So that's going to be coming out again. Not 100% sure on the pricing. I expect it's not free to play, is it?
No.
They're usually premium.
When I talk to them, yeah.
I think there are. I think you can buy the coins to get the cards.
What was the one?
But I might be wrong about that. Don't quote me. Or put me on a podcast saying
I promise I won't do that, Harry. They will never hear this bit that they're listening to right now. Okay, well, that's out right now. And the other thing that we know is definitely coming out is Nun Attack Run and Gun. Now, if you're an Android person, you already have this. It came out on the 26th of July. But if you're an App Store person, then you have yet to test your mettle against it. It is based on that Nun Attack game that came onto Android and iOS and the Vita as well, yeah, which proved quite popular. It was a freemium game on the other ones, wasn't it? On the on the mobiles. It wasn't on Vita, obviously.
It wasn't on Vita. Yes, it was freemium. Yeah, it was freemium on the other ones, and it really showed on the Vita.
One thing you should say, they look really good. The art style of the game is really fun and cartoony and nice, but
when it stood still.
Oh, really?
Not so good. The new one's quite nice in motion.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, they added, like...
The one that's coming out. The one that came out yesterday.
Nice.
Okay.
You're pro.
But is it still the same...
You run around with a gun and you jump.
But you don't even run around because it's single screen stuff.
Ah, no, this now is a running game. It's kind of an auto runner.
Okay.
That's what they've done. I've got screenshots right here. And it still looks the same, pretty much the same art style. From what it looks like, you're charging along with the nuns. You've got weapons as well, by the look of it. You've got guns and that.
What's the name of the game?
Good point. And there you're collecting star coin things, because that's what you do in Endless Runners. And
you have a slide button as well, so you can slide under things, and there are spiky, like, ball flowers.
That sounds more interesting than the last one.
Mm. All right. All the best games have slide along on your knees mechanics. Like it's
kind of on our buttocks.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, sort of like a combination of buttocks and legs and...
What was that game that was using the grindhouse style, and the entire mechanic of the game was sliding along on your knees in slow mo shooting?
Oh, Wet.
Yeah, that was the best game.
And it ended up just being like you had like infinite slowdown, so you just played the game at half speed.
Yeah, and it was like, really dull. Yes, that was rubbish. So yeah, you can slide under dangerous props, shoot enemies, and share scores with your friends. It's already got like 4.5 and lots of positive ratings. It seems to do really well.
It's the same with Worms, though, isn't it? Like, it finds its audience, and it holds onto it, because it's got a unique look. You know? Oh, nuns, and they're crime fighters. Brilliant.
Are they crime fighters? They didn't fight any crime.
I think they fight crime and demons.
It's mainly demons. They didn't seem to be... Well, I mean, the demons might have been criminals, but that was never implicit.
I mean, there's probably like a weird by-law saying that demons are criminals.
If you saw a demon, would you call the police?
I'd probably just run away.
I'd call God.
You got him on the blower, already? You got him on
the I assume you'd pay attention more so than when you're on your knees asking for a puppy. I suspect if there was a demon nearby, he'd zero in a bit quicker. Yeah. I'd like to think so, anyway.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it's very, like, you have a gun that you shoot the demons
with. Right, go on. Go on.
This is a new experimental. You need to upgrade the gun quite soon into the game because it's not good enough to kill some of the other demons that you get into, and it's very
grindy.
Yeah,
Harry was making a hand gesture that was the universal symbol for grind or pet a goat. I'm not sure which.
It's a bit of both. There probably are goats later in the game.
Oh, demon goats.
Yeah, don't quote me on that. Or me on a podcast.
Don't worry, Harry. Just like I didn't do before, I won't do this time. Excellent. So you can get Nun Attack Run and Gun right now. I'm going to guess and say it is free to play, because it is on...
It is free to play. Well, yeah.
It's an endless runner. It's going to be free to play, because there you are.
It starts with the shop menu.
As we all know, it's the best way to start any
stop
game.
Developers.
Comes it upon the throne of games.
Welcome, one and all, welcome once again to the chamber wherein lies the throne of games. For once, actually, it's a bit echoey in here, so it almost sounds like it could be a bit of a chamber.
What do you mean, it is a chamber?
Yeah.
Good point. Yes, it is a chamber, and who is first to sit upon the throne of games this week? Who hasn't done it before? Oh, Harry, why not... He's waving. Why not claim your noble birthright and sit upon the throne of games? Ah, there
you go. There was going to be a creak then when I moved. That would have been amazing. Good, what do I do?
You. Go on, Harry, this is a new guy. This is your birthright, you're supposed to be prepared. What you do is you sit on the throne, which you are currently. Well,
it's
done.
Comfy, check. It's well upholstered.
Fantastic. With the blood of the weak. And what you do is you tell us about a game that you've been playing of late that has caught your fancy, or you have something interesting to say about.
I like Gentlemen.
That's not nice. we're talking about games, Harry. Yeah.
There's a game called Gentlemen, and you can play it on your iPad, and I think on your Android tablet, but I don't know because I haven't checked, and I don't know. But it's a same screen platform dueling game where you have a friend, so you have to have a friend to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I know.
Damn.
And one of you plays one gentleman, and the other one plays another gentleman. And you are having a duel over something. I don't know. That's their business.
Okay.
But it's like you have controls. So you play it portrait ways. And one of you sits at the bottom of the screen. And one of them sits. And you have buttons that move you about. And you have weapons that you throw at each other. And it's like really fast and stupid. And it's exactly the sort of thing that makes you want to push whoever you're playing. Just, you know, so you can win, because that's not cheating if you're stronger than them.
That's just natural selection.
But there's like three different game modes, and yeah, you just run about, and there's a pigeon that's the worst pigeon in the world. So there's a homing pigeon weapon that you can pick up, and it fires, and then you're dead, and you're really sad. Oh. But there's like power-ups and stuff that swap the weapons around, and it's a brilliantly designed sort of two-player, same-device game for the iPad, possibly Android tablets. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it was really good. It made me happy. And everything about it as well, the aesthetic and everything of it, was really sort of Victorian and moustaches and monocles.
Does anyone call someone a bounder or a cad?
You could do that to the person you were playing. I mean, I think it's important to take slap on those roles. Yeah, you'd slap them with a glove. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And, you know, play it at dawn in a park. Probably don't play it at dawn in the park, actually. That'd be weird.
Someone steal your iPad.
Depends which park. There's some nice parks. Yeah. Maybe you're being a bit cruel to parks.
I've really taken to the local multiplayer thing. I've been trying to get my partner interested in, like, sort of the iPad. Like, let's just play a game together, like people used to do in the past in the same room. And one I've been playing is Omicron, which is that game in which you just tap hexagons. It's really simple. It's a colour game, and whatever colour's in the middle of the screen, you hit it and you're supposed to clear the screen. And it's a really good, fun thing to play with another person because it's kind of fast-paced and frantic, and very quickly you get annoyed when the other person wins, which is sort of half the fun of it all, isn't it? And there's lots of... And, you know, abuse that goes.
Yeah, I think in, well, the past couple of years, the iPad has sort of shown that it's actually really good as a device to gather people in.
Mm.
And that there are a decent selection of games now that you could have a games evening, maybe with some cheese, maybe with some wine.
Yeah.
But just playing on your iPad with, you know, like Gentlemen. There was one that was like Kung Fu Fingers, and then Slam Dunk Stadium.
Bam Fu, wasn't it?
Yes. And you know, you could even invite other people with devices around, they could bring them, you could play Space Team. Was it Space Team? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is amazing. And, you know, there's the people think, oh, it's just an iPad that you just play on your own and you're sad and, you know, you cry a bit when you die in the games, and the games are just about farms or something. Mm-hmm. It's not, if you know... Get out there, kids. Find new things. Get friends.
Should the kids get out there, or should they stay in school?
Well, I don't know. Do they like it in school?
As long as they don't use drugs or talk to strangers.
Because winners don't use drugs. Except they sounds do all the time. So then they get caught and
only
losers.
Yeah.
So they only win for a bit.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Harry. That was
welcome.
Good. Well, you may hop off the throne of games.
No.
All right then, Mark, you're going to have to sit on Harry's lap on the and tell him what you want for Gamesmas.
What?
Okay, all right then, instead you can tell him about a game you've been playing that you're interested in.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Mark, and I've been playing Castlevania Circle of the Moon, the Game Boy Advance.
Now, I said this podcast was coming from the past, but I think that's pushing it.
So what is it? What's this Game Boy Advance?
So it's like an iPhone, but it's got buttons, and you just...
That sounds brilliant!
And you just
make
pay
phone
money
calls on it
for the game when you buy it.
Right.
And that's it.
That's never going to catch up.
So games like, so you pay 69p for a game?
Well, more like 30 quid. Well, I paid £2.
Nice.
From a guy in a van.
Well, basically, yeah. There's a guy at my local car boot sale who does house clearance, and so he goes to people's houses when they've died or whatever, and just like chucks all their
you bought a dead man's Castlevania.
They chuck all their stuff on in a field, and and I buy it, and he's always got like a few bits of video game stuff, but it's always a little bit rubbish, or it's like an empty box. Like one time they had like a big pile of Dreamcast stuff. I was like, oh my god, there was like Sonic Adventure 2, Shenmue 1, like in the box, none of the discs were there.
Did you open it the back way though?
I did, yeah. Don't worry. I was like ripping it to shreds. Like, But yeah, so there was like a Game Boy Advance cartridge face down, and you know, what are the chances? It could be THQ's Barnyard type movie tie-in. It was. I turned it over, Castlevania, and it was the best day of my life. And the game itself is here's the funny thing: it's called Castlevania in Europe, not Circle of the Moon. And in Europe, there are four games that are literally just called Castlevania. It's Castlevania for the NES, Castlevania for the N64, Castlevania for the Game Boy Advance, Castlevania for the Xbox.
Oh.
That's mad. I don't know, what is Konami doing?
That's even more confusing than the Final Fantasy 3/6 naming convention.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at least they have different numbers.
Yeah, they're not just the same word.
So is it?
I mean, they are, but then there's this one.
So this is classic...
classic Metroidvania style, going through the castle, getting your whip out, whipping... Dudes, there's a button. You press the button, you do your whip, you hold it down, spins this whip around in circles. Ooh. Doesn't do very much damage, but it's quite good if you've got those Medusa heads trying to get you and stuff. You just whip them about.
Right.
Brilliant, I love it. It's great. It's really hard. It's hard as nails, especially the bosses. But it's very refreshing as someone who plays a lot of games with in-app purchases in them. To play a game that is genuinely hard, and I don't think, are the developers making this hard so that I buy a better sword? Or I'm like, no, I've just got to learn the attack patterns, I've just got to get better at this game. And it's like fist-pumping triumph when I smash that Minotaur's head in with a fire whip.
Just for everyone, he's just done one of those jump in the air freeze frame fist pumps.
Yeah,
he's still there. It's kind of creepy.
It is. I think you should someone help him.
But it's great, and there's loads of these Metroidvania Castlevanias to work through. I finished Portrait of Ruin earlier this year, which is a DS one. Uh-huh. I've got another one. Great, love them.
We quite like that. What was the recent one? The Castlevania Lord of Shadows,
Mirror of Fate.
Mirror of Fate.
Like Dog of something.
Ham of Sandwich.
Fork of Truth.
Mm.
Yeah. We quite liked that, didn't we? Thought that was all
right. Yeah, that was good.
That was good, yeah. Well, so fair play to Castlevania. Excellent. Well then, thank you for that one. What have I been playing? More old stuff, I suppose. Prince of Persia. They've gone and updated the sequel, because Ubisoft released Prince of Persia, the original one, in a slightly sexified, quasi-3D touchscreen version. Last year, maybe? Late last year? Earlier this year? And it was, I mean, it looked the part, but the controls weren't the best, I didn't think. And they've gone and done the sequel, which is Prince of Persia, The Shadow and the Flame. And it's not quite the same, it's not a complete port. They've essentially looked at the levels and reworked them slightly, so it's more inspired by than a direct copy of those levels. And again, it looks very much the modern Prince, so it looks like the Forgotten Sands era Prince, which is fine, you know, looks okay. They've got two control methods, one of which is the floating joysticks and little buttons, which isn't great, to be honest, and the little buttons are too little. You can move them around, but they're still too small, and when you have to perform maneuvers, like they make things overly complicated, I feel. So in order to jump, you can't just press a jump button. You have to press and hold the jump button and then swipe in a direction you want to go, which can be, again, when the buttons are very small, it can be very fiddly, especially when you're right near to traps that are about to snap your feet off. The other system they employ is a gesture-based system, which I actually preferred, oddly. It's the default selection, and I quite like... Yeah.
No, it didn't work properly.
No, it didn't work properly, but
it would have been better if it worked, but it didn't work.
I found it more reliable, frankly.
No, I disagree. You're wrong. Sorry.
I know you're in the throne, but...
Point taken. Well, yeah. And I've got this sword.
Mm.
And...
He's not afraid to use it, either.
I have used it before.
Yeah.
Right. Just, all
right. Do you remember in Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, whenever you died, the prince goes, wait, that's not how it happened. Yeah. It's the whole conceit of the game is he's telling a story. Just imagine he's telling this story to this person. And he's just like, yes, I jumped over this thing and I fell on some spikes and died. Wait, I'm misremembering.
And then he does that 10 more times.
And then I got, like, just decapitated. No, I didn't know. Wait, sorry. I'm getting sort of...
Yeah, this is a ludicrous framing device, which no, and a story no one would listen to. So yeah, I put a review up on AppsWire. There was a Harry, you did the review for Pocket Gamer, didn't you? And I think we reached roughly the same conclusion, which is that some of the old school platforming stuff is quite fun, like the free roaming levels in which you start in a place, and often you can go left or you can go right, and it's not necessarily a clear way to go. You're not funneled down just the one corridor, and that's nice and in the same similar to what you're talking about with Castlevania, it's refreshing to not necessarily just go, you're going this way and that's all you're doing, boy. You have to explore a bit and roam around. That's fun. But it is hampered by the controls, I think. It's a bit...
The last boss in it is just junk.
In fact, most of the bosses were junk.
But I don't know how I finished it. There was no discernible reason for my victory.
That's how I view all my victories in life. I can't understand any of them. So yeah, approach with warning. I think it's like $1.99 or something, £1.99, $2.99, I think. If you're a real hardcore fanatic, fine, but it's more of a footnote in history than a memorable game, I feel. Which leaves us with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been playing?
Have I talked about Beach Buggy Blitz?
I don't think so.
Have you?
I don't think so.
Beach Buggy Blitz is the game I have been playing.
Wow, what is that then?
So I picked it up a while ago, actually, about a month ago, and I've been playing it for a while now. And so it's kind of an endless... It's made by Vector Unit, which is the people behind Riptide and Hydra Thunder Hurricane, which was the remake.
Which I love hearing. I'd like people saying
Hydra Thunder Hurricane.
Yeah.
And it's an endless... Yeah, it's like an endless racer, and you have a buggy, and you're on a beach and other different areas, and the game world creates itself around you as you drive forward. So theoretically, no two drives are the same. It doesn't quite work out like that, because basically they've only got certain bits of track to work with, and they just slam all those together. But it works pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do something with it on the site a little bit fancier at some point as well, but we're mainly doing that to justify me ploughing hours and hours into it, because it feels actually a little bit like Riptide. It has that sort of floatiness almost to the way that the vehicle handles. The water physics are absolutely beautiful, as you'd expect from a team that's made water physics in all of its games.
Why is there water?
Because you're on the beach.
Next to the water.
You're next to the water, and you see the water.
Okay.
Well, it's purely visual.
You can go in it, but dark.
Is it a side scrolling, or is this from a third person perspective from behind?
This is a third person from behind. So it's a proper full 3D racer. I think it handles really well. I really love driving through and collecting lots and lots of coins, and it's got that sort of Outrun feeling of I just need a few more seconds than you've given me, so now the pressure's really on. One of the big problems I would say is that it is free to play, and the way that Vector Unit decided to sort of monetize that a little bit more was the first, I would say, half an hour of play is you not getting very far in the game at all, because you have to upgrade your buggy and you have to upgrade all of the power-ups that you get and that sort of thing. And if you don't have them, you can't get very far. Once you got to the point that I'm at, you can drive for, ages, and it's really, really enjoyable, and you can keep adding time to the clock, and you can keep driving for as long as you are good, essentially.
Weirdly, that's what I felt they did with Riptide 2. Like, near the beginning, it feels like you have to grind the first four levels again and again. Once you get a couple of upgrades, it really opens up, but that initial kind of half an hour is a little bit grindy.
It's very grindy to begin with, and it does feel like the payment model is moving in and sort of affecting the gameplay in this one, which is a bit of a shame. But
it's funny because I thought the whole point of freemium stuff was it's supposed to like really hook you in at the beginning. You're supposed to feel like you can do everything, and then, yeah. then it starts to peter off. And it's like actually, if it's you're really into this, then you're going to have to start paying a bit.
Yeah.
But you start getting games now where it's like, already at the beginning of the game, you're just like, start paying.
It's so abrasive at the start, and it doesn't require you to keep paying. Like, if you are stubborn, like I am, like, half an hour of play and you've earned enough coins. I mean, you can even tap like free coins and you get like a pretty good amount of them for watching a stupid little advert for a game you haven't bought. And like, that's fine, and you get some extra upgrades and so forth. But there is, at the start of it, there is that pushback almost, and it's a little bit sort of disappointing. I don't think it would work better as a premium app. I just kind of feel like the way that it starts off is just so... It's almost like you're stuck in practice mode for half an hour, and then the game opens up, and you can really like post some amazing scores. But I think it's very good. I think it's very good, and I've been playing it for probably a bit too long.
Once you get over the hump,
it's pretty damn good.
Okie dokie. Well, thank you one and all for joining me this week. Things will be back to normal probably. We'll all head back to our various holes in the ground all across the UK and whisper to one another. Over the internet. Quiet rooms. But until the next big Steel Media gathering, when we can have a nice round table again, that's probably it for this week. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and all the usual things, places where you find us, and thanks for listening thus far. Bye!
Bye!
Bye. Bye.